Ray, are you there?
Yeah, I accidentally hit the mute on my phone. I was actually answering the question because I played for the Rangers when Dick Todd was one of our assistant coaches.
And yes. Why is a guy's name Dick, Ray?
Hey, hang on. You guys are so mature. I had this conversation yesterday with Riley, my son, who's 10.
Exactly.
Because he had a guy, he had hurt his foot playing soccer, and so the guy was helping, you know, giving him a treatment. And the guy's name is Richard. And so I said to him, I go, Riley, you know, like, some people might call him Dick. Well, you know, I mean, he's 10 years old. I mean, he's on the ground rolling. It's the funniest thing that he's heard in a week. And you morons are talking about the same thing.
We're just trying to figure out, though, how, like, just someone decided, oh, you're Richard? Actually, I'm going to cut it down to Dick. Like, it doesn't make sense.
Especially when, whenever they cut it down, I wonder if, like, you know, if you're calling somebody Dick, that's his name, or you throw an ah in there, hey, buddy, you're a Dick.
Yes.
That's not the same thing.
No, it's not.
No, so, no.
And so I wonder when they were figuring this all out back in the day, if that was something that just slipped by somebody, and all of a sudden, or maybe the guy was a jackass, and then
he was
they
a
had
dick.
Already called him, and they had already, his name was already Dick, and so they're like, okay, this is all coming together now.
Well,
maybe that's how the language started.
I think maybe that's exactly what happened, to be honest, and it wouldn't shock me if that's a direct quote from the Wikipedia page in terms of the history of the name.
Well, we'll have to figure it out.
We'll look into it. We'll dig a little bit deeper. Obviously, people buzzing about this Connor McDavid contract report, 8 years, $13.25 million per season. I mean, this kid, he's shooting high. This is a new bar. Like, Taves and Kane are at 10-5, and they've been alone atop that mountain for 2 years. McDavid's jumping that by like $3 million. What do you make of this?
I can't even stop giggling about the amount that it is. You know, like, I mean, how do you even get your head around that? That it's $13 million. That it's, you know, $2.5 million more than Kane and Taves. That the Oilers are like, well, what are we going to do? Like, no, we're going to give you a bridge contract. Like, they don't have a choice. And so if that's the piece of paper they slid across the table, well, then that's where they have to go. I don't know. How do you build the rest of your team around that? Like, say they go to Draisaitl next and say, okay, we'll give you $7 million, which is a crazy amount of money. Draisaitl's going to say, you're going to pay me $6 million less than McDavid per year? That's $50 million on the contract left. I can't do that.
This has a ripple effect all the way through the league, doesn't it?
Draisaitl almost has a right to say, okay, he's 13, I'm 10.
How do they do it? Like, how would you possibly do that? And then somebody asked me, well, what if a team went and, you know, put one of those offer sheets on the Oilers knowing that they can't match it? Well, then if I'm Peter Chiarelli, I go, if somebody offers him $10 million, like you say, in an offer sheet, which never seems to happen, and I don't get why it doesn't, why wouldn't they just say, look, I'm going to take three of the four first-rounders and a prospect, and then I'm going to trade those first-rounders and the prospect to a team and acquire, for example, Matt Duchene. And then how much worse am I?
It's an interesting connecting of the dots, and
yeah.
And you're right. I mean, something about the NHL and the gentleman's code, when it comes to offer sheeting, it just doesn't happen. But I know Edmonton will be in a bind here if this ends up happening, 13.25. But if I'm like a team, if I'm Carolina, right, all day I'm offer sheeting Draisaitl.
No kidding.
All day. There's my number one center for the next 10 years. Yeah. That's exactly what they need.
Here's 10 sheets.
They love their defense,
yeah,
and they're not in the conference, so if Edmonton matches, okay, go ahead. We'll move on. Yeah. Not our problem anymore. I mean, this just screams offer sheet.
What about Vancouver?
Yeah, but they're going south, though, aren't they? I mean, how much does that improve them to the point where they don't concern themselves about those picks going the other way?
But they're rebuilding, and you have a 20-year-old at center. That's not bad.
You've got a 20-year-old. You've got Bo Horvat. So now the middle of your ice is set.
Yeah.
You've still got your own first round pick. Well, no, I guess you lose one of your first. So now your first pick every year is in the second round for the next 4 years. I would make that trade. I'd like that trade off to me.
Well,
I just why not? Like, man, I think he's a hell of a player. I think he is a number one center. I don't think you're guessing about that.
I don't disagree with you. I think Peter Chiarelli knows it. I think Leon Draisaitl knows it, that you're looking at a situation here where if McDavid gets 13.25, and Draisaitl was top 10 in points this past year, he had a brilliant playoff. He was better than McDavid in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You got to be thinking he's saying, okay, I'll take a $2 or $3 million a year less, but not much.
What if you're Montreal and you walk on Radulov and you could have Draisaitl and Drouin?
See, this gentleman stuff, guys, I don't get it. We always hear, oh, it's a vicious business.
It's part of the rules.
Yeah, who's writing these rules? Oh, you mean like to go ahead and offer sheet somebody?
Yeah, you're allowed to do it. Do it.
It's not a dick move.
It's not.
It's not a Richard move.
Now, Richard should make this move, whoever Richard is in that chair. You're not, like, so someone comes back and offer sheets you. Well, then you're stuck with a decision. And you let the next guy go, or you sign him. But man, with a player like Draisaitl, that I would find that incredibly hard to stay to the code.
I'm with you, man, and I think this contract, as I said earlier, it's not on McDavid to concern himself with building a championship caliber team. It's his priority to work as hard as he can, be the best player he possibly can, and if you're going to get paid the most, you better be the best. But I think he's already proven that he's willing to bet on himself, and he should. I don't think this is on him to spread the wealth, but I think there will be pressure put on him to accept less, clearly. You know Peter Chiarelli's pitch will be, okay, we can pay you, but I can't guarantee you rings. If you take less, I can guarantee you rings. Or I can give you a much better chance of winning rings. But I don't think McDavid is the bad guy in all of this. I think whoever decided to have a salary cap is the bad guy, first and foremost.
I told you last week, not everybody's going to say, oh, I want to take a hometown discount so we can try to do this or that and give me 8 points. Some guys, it's driven by the agents, and they say, look, you're the best player in the world. Start being paid like it. I'm enough of this garbage. And that's exactly what happened here.
The hometown discount's a crock of crap, in my opinion, because how many guys have taken that discount and then 3 years down the road been asked to be, you know, hey, we want to move you.
Yeah.
Or now they've got the, you know, guys negotiate a no trade, and now teams are coming back to them asking them to waive the no trade. But that's a negotiated point.
Right.
The hometown discount's garbage, because say McDavid says, okay, I'm only going to take the same as Kane and Taves, 10.5. So he's now leaving 2.7, apparently, on the table for 8 years, which is $20 million. Then on top of that, take off his 10% escrow minimum. And so that's at $10 million. That's another million per year. Now he's leaving $28 million on the table. What is he, a charity? Not his business, man. No. I mean, I don't. And who's to say, okay, we're either going to save $2.7 million. Who's to say it gets spent on the right players, that it's actually going to make them better? There's no evidence that taking less money means that the teams that get a great player to take less money use it on the right players when they spend that money.
If I was a high-end player now, Ray, I wouldn't even be involved in the negotiations. I would say to my agent, if I had some pull like a Draisaitl, I would say, get me the most money possible. Don't even come to me say, oh, they came with... You just say, no, like, just let them do it and stay out of it.
What if they approach Draisaitl with 5 years instead of 8?
Yeah, they're going to have to be creative, Ray. And I personally...
Honestly, 5 years wouldn't offend me. I mean, God, like, for Christ's sakes.
But
5 years at that kind of money, you're not... Your grandkids can't spend that money.
And he's be banking on getting more money in 5 years.
So what if they say to Draisaitl, 5 years, $8 million, $40 million, and then in 5 years when you're 25, we're gonna take a big swing for you. Like, do you trust that, or do you...
What's 5 years, $8 million? Is that a drag bunt?
It depends on what he values himself at 25, potential unrestricted free agent. Like, he would be betting on himself. We all thought that McDavid was going to take a shorter term because, kind of like Crosby, like they wanted to get a home run in that, I guess, what it was, third contract. And McDavid's getting a home run in his second contract. I personally believe that they'll be able to fit Dreisaitl and McDavid and still have a very good team. The spicy meatball is Talbot, because Talbot's a star.
And he's up in 2 years.
He's up in a year and year and a half. Like, if that guy continues to be an elite goaltender who's a Vezina finalist and takes his team to a cup final, we're talking Lundqvist money, $7-8 million a year,
And you're so right. I mean, there's a ripple effect with the Oilers, but there's such a ripple effect now league wide because players, they're all confident, but they also, I think, are more often than not reasonable and logical. I think most players would understand McDavid should set the bar. He's the Hart winner. He's the Ted Lindsay winner. He is the superstar of superstars right now. But as we've talked about throughout the past couple of years, Matthews may not be the same player, but he represents the same thing to the Leafs. And Jack Eichel, not the same player. He represents pretty close to the same thing in Buffalo. So if I'm these players and I'm sitting there saying, okay,
I'm Jack Eichel, bro. I'm saying 10. 10's the bottom.
Basically. I would say a minimum. I mean, honestly, if Ray, you correct me if I'm wrong here, but let's say Matthews scores 40 again, ends up with 80 points. How does he get paid a penny less than $12 million a year next year?
I don't know.
He doesn't.
I mean, he doesn't. Like, why would he all of a sudden be, I'm going to help out the team? That's where the salary cap is, you know, let's clump the league together. Let's mean that the smaller market teams can win, except I don't really know that happens. But anyway, that's the way the system is. And so guys are forcing teams into decisions that are impossible to make. The middle class is getting obliterated out of the league. If you think you're going to make $4 million, you don't have a chance. That class of player is getting hit on the head with a hammer.
Mm-hmm. Well, the problem with that, though, is, and I don't disagree, that's exactly what's happening, but now there's 31 teams. So if there's no middle class, and let's say the top three or four guys get paid, that means you're looking at 120 players, give or take, that get paid big money.
Out of 740?
There aren't 120 players that are worthy of big money. So what's going to end up happening is you're going to look at a team like Arizona or Vegas or Carolina, and eventually they're going to say, you know what, we got to get a guy, and we got to pay him, so let's just pay this guy who we don't think is really worth $10 million, but we got to pay him $10 million because
he's on our team,
he's a star. And that I think, could end up applying league-wide as well. And then you got guys who are going to get paid a fortune that probably aren't worth a fortune. So it can go both ways.
You're right. There's going to be guys that will hit, and then there's going to be guys that get absolutely slammed because they're going to be really good players. They're going to have a good year. The cap's going to be flat, and there's going to be nowhere to go for the price point they think they're going to get. I don't think there's any question that's going to happen more frequently than less frequently.
Well, McDavid reportedly, again, getting $8 million, or 8 years, $13.25 million. That's 17.6% of the cap. Now, an individual player can get 20% of the cap. So
right.
I guess technically his counter may be, hey, I could have asked for more. And until it's actually done, it's not actually done. But it sure sounds like it's leading that way. And, you know, it makes you wonder how these numbers, again, are going to affect the way a lot of teams do business on Saturday, on July 1st. You know, you look at Patrick Marleau's name is out there, and I think most people expect him to return to San Jose, but he's going to have a lot of suitors.
Sure.
You know, and some reports out there that maybe Toronto's kicking tires. If you're Marleau, I mean, again, obviously you're not McDavid. Obviously you're not an upper echelon guy anymore, but you're also coming off a season at 27 goals. I mean...
At 36.
At 36, 37, you're a UFA. How like how much money would that guy get? If the Leafs signed him, what would they have to pay for a guy like Patrick Marleau?
Five men.
Three years, $18 million.
Yeah, six. That's what I was thinking.
Ooh.
I don't like that.
No, I know. That's the thing. Is so because he has 27 goals. He never misses any games. He's still a really good player. But we talked about it yesterday. Some years, a guy wakes up and all of a sudden he can't play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Over the summer. And it's going to happen to all of them. And, I mean, Joe Thornton and Patrick Marleau and Andre Markov, for three examples, are really good older players. And as soon as you sign them, you can never buy them out because they're over 35. They count on the cap, full boat. I mean, that's... But if you're Montreal, you talked about Radulov earlier. If you don't want to go 6 years, which I think you're crazy if you do, why wouldn't you think about Marleau? I would.
Yeah.
Even at 3 years, 18, I'd go, well, that's half of the madness of Radulov. And I think Radulov had an amazing year last year.
Mm-hmm.
But 6 years? No, thank you.
I agree. I think that's what... It's interesting, and Hayes just said it. The ripple effect of this contract, because even if you're a good player, you're like, is McDavid $10 million more than me?
Well, exactly.
If I'm a $3 million player.
Right.
If you're Draisaitl and you're looking at seven, is he six and a bit more than me?
Look at JVR. Okay, because JVR, he's going to come up next year.
Yeah.
He's a 25 to 30 goal scorer year in, year out. He's getting paid 4.25. Let's say this upcoming season in his final year, he scores 30 again.
Yeah.
Ends up with 60 points.
What's $9 million a year?
Like, what's stopping him from asking for that? Now, it doesn't mean he'll get it, but how, if you're a GM, again, do you explain that there's a guy in the league that will make $8 million more than you a year, and you're a 30-goal scorer?
Yeah.
Like, it's going to change, I think, the way GMs have to sell everyone. And the fact is, it doesn't change the amount of money that's actually available. The cap is what it is.
And that's, don't you think, Brian, that's, whatever the arguments are, whatever the plays are, the facts are the facts. It's a math equation in a lot of cases.
Well, and we said this earlier, man, like the Leafs, if Matthews keeps growing and Nylander and Marner, they have to work out an equation where they can keep them happy and still build. Because, you know, we were talking about how with a situation like this, a lot of people will compare it to the Chicago situation and the L.A. situation. Difference is, those teams have their rings already. They've already won. Right. Like, Edmonton hasn't won anything, and they might have to throw people overboard. The Leafs haven't won anything. They might have to throw people overboard.
Isn't that crazy?
Like, how crazy is that?
Well, I guess it all speaks to how good these kids are much earlier than players used to be, and they're forcing teams into places they never thought they had to be.
Well, just also
doesn't. Sorry, Nunes.
No, go ahead.
Doesn't it make you wonder if this is a CBA battle? You can't get paid a certain amount until you're 6 years into the league.
You know what's funny about that? Every CBA, the veterans always bail on the younger guys. It always happens.
Yeah.
Now the younger guys are the best players, and there's going to be an internal players association battle about that. If that's even brought to the table, they will be fighting in-house before they get to their fight with the owners during the lockout, which seems like it's, you know, coming right down Main Street.
Well, the guys that are in their late 20s are going to be saying, we can't get a job.
Yeah.
Or we can't get paid what we're actually worth because the 21-year-old's getting paid.
Yeah. For what the organization thinks he's going to be worth.
Right. That's you're right, man. It may be more of an internal battle than even Bettman and the owners, because the owners might be saying, "Hey, listen, we're paying what we're paying. Like one guy, 13 guys, 20 guys, but it might be a fight within the PA."
Were you at the PA meeting, or Ray, where Ty Domi stood up and went nuts?
I saw Ty Domi stand up, and he's like, "Look, I got a couple years left. I want to play hockey." And they were like, "Sit down and shut up." Then Shane Doan stood up with Jerome Iginla, and they were like, Maybe the owner is like, we can still kind of make a good living. And Darian Hatcher and Chris Chelios stood up and said, sit down and shut up. I was like, no, we're not playing hockey.
I just sat there. I was like, it was such a gong show.
Yeah. They were young kids, Jerome and Shane Doan. They were like, guys, like maybe if we just kind of listen, we could make a good living and still kind of play hockey. No, sit down, shut up. Let's miss a whole year, lose a billion. That's really smart.
We showed them.
Yeah, exactly. We showed them all.
Remember
right.
Remember Andrew Ferentz is like, listen, if we're going to get a cap, let's maximize it.
Just took a massive sky dump and people with $3.5 million and just wiped.
Eric tweeting in, this. I think this is a great idea. You see this in other leagues. I don't think Bettman will have the stomach for it because the NHL just doesn't work this way, but maybe they got to think about like a franchise tag.
Franchise or luxury tax. Or
one guy can get paid through the roof or whatever, but only a certain amount works against your cap. Or
that'd be cool.
Right.
You know, there's got to be some fluctuation. Like that. The hard cap, I guess they would suggest it's worked for them, and I'm sure in many ways it has, but I'm not sure it's worked for the greater of the game. It just, there's no flexibility.
Well, as soon as they come up with something that's for the greater of the game, it'll be the first time.
Right.
Because it's always about the bottom line every time.
Yep.
Yeah, you're probably right.
The franchise tag would be awesome. It counts $8 million against your cap, and whatever you want to pay just comes out of the owner's pocket. That would allow the big market teams to use their might, but for just one guy. Like, what's wrong with that? If they want to pay another $10 million to McDavid and he gets $18 million and $8 comes off the cap, well, then that's fine. But, the cap's the cap. I don't have a problem with that. No. I think it would be kind of cool, actually.
It makes a lot of sense, but you're right. It makes too much sense, so it won't actually happen. All right, buddy. Good stuff as always.
By the way, one more name for Richard.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the best of all time, I think. Dick Pound.
Yes, that's the hero that's always like investigating the drugging.
Dick Pound from the IOC.
You can't beat that name.
No.
Hi, I'm Dick Pound. Really, you are.
Yes, you are.
Shouldn't you be going by Richard Pound?
Yes.
No, I'm Dick Pound.
All right, buddy. We'll do this again
tomorrow.
Talk to you tomorrow.
Later.